This is Austin Real Estate Investing.
Austin Real Estate Investing.
We'll be discussing real estate investing in Austin, Texas, and bringing you experts from all different sectors of the real estate game. Your host, Jordan Moorhead, is a real estate agent and investor in Austin and is here to help you get started or to build your portfolio and explore new strategies.
This is Jordan Moorhead, and this is the Austin Real Estate Investing Podcast. Today we have Haley Anderson on, and she's going to tell me all about a subject I know nothing about, which is Airbnb arbitrage. I know it's a super popular subject and something a lot of people want to know more about so they can get into making passive income without having to actually buy the properties right away. Hey, Haley, how are you?
Awesome. I'm great. Thank you for having me. Super excited to be here and share my journey so far with like Airbnb arbitrage and everything. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so cool. And thank you for reaching out. Before we get started here, Haley, real quick, what is your favorite restaurant in Austin?
This is like a basic answer, but I love Terry Black's barbecue. It's my favorite. I'm from Florida, so like we don't have barbecue like that. So whenever I came to Austin, I had it for the first time, and that's like my guilty pleasure. Like, I know it's super hyped up, but it's really good.
It's great. Yeah, I love it too. Yeah. I think we go there mostly when somebody comes into town because it is such an experience, but it's such good barbecue. And while there's other places that are arguably a little better, you can't beat the experience. It really does. It's just fun to go through that big line and grab barbecue and sit outside.
Favorite.
Yeah, their sides are amazing. And the original Black's Barbecue in Lockhart, I think, arguably is just as good, if not better, and much more old school feel. So that's a cool one to check out if you haven't been there yet.
Yeah, I've never been to that one. I've only been to the one like downtown, so I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, about 30 minutes southeast of Austin is Lockhart, and that's where the Black's Barbecue started. So there's actually a Black's Barbecue, and they're building a Terry Black's Barbecue right down the street. There's some sort of family feud there, and I don't know enough about it to talk about it. Yeah.
I need to look it up now. Like, after this, I'm going to go look it up.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. Well, awesome. Real quick, Haley, who are you and how are you involved with real estate investing?
So I guess a little bit background about me. I'm 20 years old. I graduated high school not too long ago. My primary background, honestly, is like in e-commerce. So like I have a creatives agency, and then that's when I really started to realize like there was money to be made online. And then back in September of 2022, I came across like a YouTube video about Airbnb. And I was just like, if I can run a creatives agency, like why can't I do Airbnb too? And I actually started researching about arbitrage. And then I started pitching landlords kind of like just to see what would happen. I was like, let me try this pitch. And then I actually got a yes for the three units here in Austin. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to do it. Like, this is what I wanted. I started pitching. I got a yes. And yeah, I took them. And that kind of was the start of everything. And now I have 12 active units. And then tomorrow, actually, I'm going to Utah to set up 4 more. So
wow.
It's been very fast paced, but like such a cool, fun journey.
That's amazing. So you're only 20 and you already have 12 arbitrage units.
Yep.
So will that bring it up to 16 or up to 12 tomorrow when you set these 4 up?
Up to 12.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think, could you just better explain what arbitrage is? I've heard some about it, but I just don't know a ton about it.
Yeah. So basically the arbitrage method is just the act of renting a property and then basically subleasing it. So I sign a lease with these apartments or landlords. I only have apartments at the moment. So I sign these leases just like anyone else would. And then in that lease agreement, it states that I can list on third-party platforms like Airbnb, VRBO, Furnish Finder, all those kinds of things. And then every month I pay my lease. I pay my rent just like I would pay my rent myself. But I'm listing it on Airbnb, and then the rest is profit. After I pay my cleaning teams, and all that, the rest is profit. So it's just, I'm leasing the property and then paying the rent. And yeah, that's it. So I don't own any of my properties. I'm just leasing them.
Yeah. You don't own them yet. You got plenty of time to buy properties. That's awesome though.
Yeah. That's the end goal, is owning property for sure.
Yeah. And you figured out a way to make a good income off of them too. So not only can you operate the STR, are you doing mostly short-term rentals or medium-term rentals or a mixture?
A mixture. I would say it's mostly short-term rentals, but I have had a couple like 1 month stays, 2 month stays. But on average, it's more short-term rental.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So you've got the business part figured out, and buying the real estate is going to be easy after that. So yeah. You got this.
No problem. I'm hoping to like, since it's such like a, like once it's set up, so when I got my first three in Austin, I actually was living in Florida. So that's kind of actually what made me move here. I was like, whoa, this place is actually super fun. So I didn't realize how great of like a, I knew it was going to be great cash flow, but until I started, I didn't realize like, wow, I set them up. I went back home and I never stepped foot in them again. And now I'm just getting paid. Like, so I was like, okay, this is a great cash flow that I can start saving now to like later buy property. So I think it's awesome for people like me. I can't afford to buy a house right now. So it's a great like intro for beginners to get into real estate investing.
Yeah, and learn the business side of things. It's really awesome. So you said they're only apartments. So are these like bigger apartment complexes?
They're just, I've gotten to my most recent ones in Utah, the five. Those are with the Gray Star building. So those are like my nicest ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my nicest ones. But the three here in Austin are just like a normal apartment complex. Near Lamar. So it's just like a normal apartment complex. But yeah, currently all of them are also one bedroom, one bath. But the four that I'm setting up tomorrow are actually townhomes. So this will be my first like intro into getting bigger properties, and they're three bedrooms. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So we run, my girlfriend and I run two medium term rentals here in Austin, and they are a two bedroom and a three bedroom. And we stay booked. That's always like 88% occupancy here yesterday. Awesome. And that's even, well, sorry, that's 88%, but that's not accounting for a month or two that wasn't on Airbnb. So it's probably more like in the mid 90s occupancy.
Wow.
So that's, it works awesome. Out yeah. Really well. Yeah.
Yeah, Austin's a great area, and it's definitely gaining a lot more traction. There's so many Airbnbs here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, for me, the scary part is that there are more. How did you end up, so I know you were in Florida, how did you end up targeting Austin? What like drew you to Austin for starting these first three?
Hey guys, this is Jordan Moorhead here, and I wanted to ask if you could do a huge favor for me. If you could go leave a review for this podcast wherever you're listening to it, that would really help me get this into the hands of other people that are interested in information about Austin real estate investing, and I'd be able to help more people. Thanks, guys.
I think just doing, like, I was watching literally every single free video I think on YouTube I could possibly watch. I was watching, and I think I had made a game plan that I was like, okay, like, the biggest issue is finding the right market to get into. And honestly, I was just looking for demand. So where are popular places to go? Why do people travel to Austin? What kind of people travel here? Like how many groups, big groups, single families, you know, that kind of thing. And honestly, just finding places that people travel to for a reason. You know, there's a lot of work here. Downtown is awesome. There's Google, like all these TikTok, all these big places. It's a great city to visit. So I was like, you know what? I think Austin's a great place. And I just started reaching out, and I still use that like process today. Like when I'm looking for new markets to go into, just like, why do people travel there? Why would someone be going there? Or like what brings people to the area? Cause that's where you're gonna, if there's demand, then there's money to be made.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think that's, One of my next questions was going to be, how did you end up in Utah and where in Utah? Because if you're from Florida, I mean, Austin makes a little more sense. Like, you see Florida license plates driving around here all day.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Utah, I'm curious. How Utah and where in Utah?
I wanted to actually get into the California market, but it's extremely hard. The regulations are very strict. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of started moving closer to Austin. And so I literally reached out. I reached out to Denver too as well. I would love to get into the Denver market, but I just got a big yes in Utah. So I was like, okay, the numbers make sense. I ran the numbers and I was like, looks like they're going to make a lot of money. So I went there and yeah, I mean, it's easier to get more units, obviously, like where I already have some. Like, I would love to get more in Austin because I already have a cleaning team here and mm-hmm. all that. So once I got those first five, I was like, I'm just going to keep reaching out to Utah. They did great. So once I find an area, I really would love to expand in all of them.
That's awesome. And when you're calling like a Gray Star, because for anybody listening, Gray Star is, I think, the largest property management company in the world. They're a huge company, huge. I know because I have a friend that used to work for them and they're all over the place. They actually own a ton of buildings too. But how do you make that first contact and convince somebody at Gray Star that they should lease a couple units to you for arbitrage?
Yeah, so I think it's all about obviously the approach. When I just started in September of 2022, and I mean, it was a brand new LLC. I had barely any business credit. So it really was just kind of preaching the benefits of the business. Not only is it beneficial for them to have me as a tenant, but like, you know, we're going to be benefiting each other. So I always, whenever I'm reaching out, I do my pitch, you know, ask them if they do corporate leasing, because that means like, just that's my pitch. Hey, do you guys do corporate leasing? You know, I would love to take as many units that you have vacant available. And then they got back to me and they were like, yes, we do do corporate leasing. We have 20. I think they said they had 20 vacant units. And I was like, obviously, I couldn't take on all 20. So I was like, okay, I would love to take all 20. But if we could stagger them, you know, start with 5, add another 5 2 months later kind of thing. And in the beginning, I contacted the property manager. They said they had to reach out to regional. And then I guess that's when they talked about it. And they were like, all right, you know, we're willing to give you 5, see how they go. And then if everything goes well for both of us, we'd love to continue the partnership. So I think it kind of was just, it was a lot of back and forth. I created like a pitch deck basically that broke down exactly what my intentions were with these properties. I didn't approach them like, hey, can I list your apartments on Airbnb? Because they're going to say no. Like, I wouldn't say yes to that. Like, if someone approached you being like, hi, can I list your house on Airbnb? You'd probably say no, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had people do that. But I think at the same time, like, it's becoming so much more recognized. It's like it's something that people do. I know people that have in Austin that have somebody doing corporate rentals via arbitrage in one of their houses. Because they're getting a really high rent from them and they're not having to do anything except cover the utilities.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's about the pitch. I don't say, hey, can I list your place on Airbnb? I do tell them that I will be leveraging like third party platforms. But I told them that I know I have Ring cameras. So I'm monitoring who's coming in, who's coming out. I do background checks on all of the guests. We clean, like literally, I have a professional cleaning team there. Like, multiple times a week, it's probably going to be cleaner when I give it back to you than you gave it to me. So I think it's really just preaching the benefits of the business. They get guaranteed rent. You know, we handle everything inside the unit and we'll be the best tenant they've ever had.
That's awesome. So, and forgive me if I misheard you. You say you just started doing this in September and you're already up to 12.
Yep. September 14th, I went live with my first 3. And then after that, I was like, whoa, because I went live in September and then October was Formula One.
Yeah.
And I hit like, so September I made about $4,500 and then October I made 15,000. So I was like, whoa, I need to get more like right now. So, and then in November I got the 5 in Utah. So I really just I scaled pretty quickly, but I think it's all worth it.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing that you're scaling that quickly. I think that it's hard to recognize this with real estate investing or any business in general. Like, there's this period in time where you're trying to grow the business and you're trying to grow the business, and it's super frustrating. But it starts to be really exciting when you start to scale it and get up to a certain revenue number where you're like, I want to get up every morning and crush it at this because I'm making great money. But there's a lot of bets. If you stay in that slog too long of like, oh, I'm barely making it by, and everything, any one thing happens and it really stresses you out, it sucks.
I think that's where the majority of people give up too. Like, I definitely think, like, I went really hard, like, in the beginning, and I'm still going hard now, but like in the beginning, you have to really, I got told no, I cannot tell you how many times people were like, no, 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 no. I would wake up every day to just like being told no for 24 hours straight. But that one yes I got was all worth it. And like, you just have to keep going. That's honestly, like, everyone's like, oh, how did you do it? How did you get it so easily? Like, it wasn't easy, but most people don't want to sit here and be told no all day, but like, you got to do it. It's just part of the business. If you got told yes all day, then everyone would be doing it. So I think it's a great thing that it's not super easy, but it's definitely, I feel like it just, like, the business model has like a formula. Like, once you figure it out, like, you just rinse and repeat. And I think people, I would love to see more people get into it. I think it's amazing, like, the opportunities it's given me, and I'm like only 20 years old. So I think it's awesome.
That's just amazing. And I think what you said there, like, because it's every no you get is so much closer to a yes. And as long as you can keep that in your head and just get told no over and over and over, when you're cold calling for something like this, what would you say, 95% say no or higher than that?
Yeah.
Have you wanted to be part of GoBundance, the tribe of millionaires, but just haven't hit that millionaire status yet? Well, now you can, not even being a millionaire, by joining our new program, GoBundance Emerge. My name's Jamie Gruber, creator of GoBundance Emerge and member of the GoBundance community. And now you can join. GoBundance.com/emerge. GoBundance.com/emerge. Use code Jordan for $100 off this 12-week goal-setting program and mastermind that'll propel you to being a whole-life millionaire.
Yeah. Probably like 97% say no.
Yeah. It's just,
and even if they do say, and even if they do say yes, say I get 3 yeses, 2 of them are probably going to convert to a no because they actually probably had no idea about corporate leasing, or they actually weren't open to Airbnb to begin with, but they said they were. So, I mean, like you said, it's a numbers game. You just have to keep calling until you get that one.
Yeah. No, and now you've got 12, and it's amazing. That's in just 9 months. And if you keep up this hustle for like a couple of years, even, imagine how many you would have. That's amazing.
I know. I hope I can continue. The goal is to continue to build the portfolio out. It's like to the point where it's just so exciting to me. Like, it was exciting in the beginning, but now it's just like extra exciting. I wake up and like, I'm ready to build every day. I'm like, all right. And I feel like I still have the same eagerness as I did in the beginning, if not more. So once you overcome that like initial fear, it's just like you're unstoppable after that.
That's so cool. Yeah, it's great to hear because I've experienced the same thing. Once you start seeing success, you're like, all right, let's double down. Let's do it.
It's like a fire is just lit.
So I think some of the biggest things that I've run into running short-term rentals or medium-term rentals are like the amount of work it is to furnish them, or, you know, not having all the right stuff. Is there anything that you've done to overcome that?
Yeah. So, I have like an Excel sheet that I went through like my own house and I thought of everything that like I have in my own house. And then I also thought about when I go to Airbnb, is what's things that I appreciate them having. Just thing that comes top of my mind, a hair dryer. Like, I don't know for guys, but like for girls specifically, like I hate having to travel with a blow dryer. Like, it's big, it's bulky. So really just, I mean, it's a hospitality business. You're hosting people. So thinking of those little things, like I cannot tell you the amount of times people have been like, oh my gosh, thank you for having a hair dryer. And like, it's just something you don't think about, but it's very important. So the first time around, I used business credit cards to fund like the furnishing. So actually like 0% APR cards for 12 months. So as soon as I got a yes, I applied for these credit cards and I went on Amazon and I bought everything. I went on Amazon, IKEA, and I bought everything that I could think of on that Excel sheet to furnish it. And then I had it shipped to a storage unit. And then once I got there, I distributed everything into each of the units. And then obviously there were things that came up that I forgot to order. But genuinely just thinking of like everything I have in my house, plus what would make it better if I'm traveling, thinking from both like personal and then like being a consumer, like if I'm checking into an Airbnb, what would I like them to have? All of my properties are pet friendly. So I have dog bowls. I have like doggy bags. It's really just like breaking it down and the little things that really make a difference and make you stand out from other properties.
That's so cool. I think that just gives me like with us, the hair dryers and the dog bowls. I don't know that we have those. I'll have to check, but we definitely need to have those.
Are you
putting together all the furniture yourself?
So my very first three I did. I thought it was really important to like understand every aspect of the business. Like if I can't outsource, I don't know how to do it myself. So the first three, I literally was there for like a week building everything by hand. I had like my family help me. But I was struggling. It was like the hardest week of my life. Like I don't know how to build stuff. That's not my thing, but I made myself do it. And so moving forward, these most recent five that I just got, I did outsource the work through like Thumbtack, and I hired like movers to help move everything from the storage unit to the apartments. And then I also hired furniture builders. So I had them come for like 2 days. I had like four furniture builders. Some were building beds, some were hanging TVs, some were hanging the wall art. And then I kind of was just getting everything else ready, doing last minute errands, like, you know, setting up the utilities, make sure all that was set up that way. Cause my whole goal is you want to be in and out as fast as possible. That way you can make the most money. So definitely now I hire workers to build everything to get it done as quick as possible. That way I can get live as soon as possible. But I did do it myself the first time.
Yeah. That building that furniture is so awful.
It's so humbling too.
It is. Yeah. So frustrating. I mean, you think you're, oh, it's no problem. It's just a simple desk I have put together. And an hour later, you're like, I hate this desk.
I don't even want to build this desk anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can relate. So I think, you know, Airbnb, VRBO, like medium-term rentals, all that can seem super exciting. But I think it seems like it's so complicated, and what you just described, if you just made a list of everything in your house, plus it would make it better if you're traveling, is just such an easy way to say, hey, what would I want? You know, go to an Airbnb, see what's here, what's cool, and then what's everything I would possibly ever want if I were to come here. And
that's all. Yeah. And I think too, when people hear like Airbnb or Airbnb arbitrage, they think, oh, like the first thing that comes to my head is, oh, I can't do that. I don't have enough money, or, oh, it's too complicated. But when you really break it down, it's not that complicated. Like you sign a lease, you furnish it, and you list it. Like, I think, people kind of overcomplicate it, and it's a business. It's hard. Like, it's stressful. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like if I can do it, literally anyone can do it. And it's just like, I wish more people, you know, took advantage of it and just started, because I feel like it's so amazing. Like, I love Airbnb.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I think what you said there, like, hey, you just opened up a business credit card and you put all it on 0% APR. I by no means advocating that, and I've done this, but I'm not by no means advocating like go out and open up credit cards and put everything on there. But if that's what it takes to get started, do what you got to do. Make sure you've got a plan to pay it off. I did a rehab on a house on credit cards. I would pay the contractor. I would pay it down as quickly as possible. And then he'd come back and want more money, and I'd pay him. And I mean, I didn't have the money to do it. you know? And I wish I would have known that in the beginning when I did my first house rehab, because I could have paid down that credit card pretty quickly, but I didn't have any money and I had to suffer through stuff that wasn't very nice in the house. But credit can be used for good if you just use it right.
Exactly. And that I am 100% like good credit. I mean, good debt is good. Like to have debt is good, but it has to be good debt. And I mean, on average, like typically I'd say you can break even on a unit like 3 to 6 months. So if you have 0% APR for 12 months, there should be no problem paying that off interest free with the payments and the money that you're making from Airbnb. So I think it's hard for people, especially when you don't know much about business. I mean, I'm still learning, like there's so many new things, but when you realize it's just like, wow, like it could really be that simple. I just think people, the just educating, like learning, continue to learn is super important.
Absolutely. And Haley, is there anything you do to make sure that you don't get bad guests that would maybe tarnish your reputation with the landlord? I know that's a big fear with Airbnb, is I'm going to get a guest at parties.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that kind of contribute to getting good guests or staying away from bad guests. So I tested out, I'm pretty sure you've seen this before, but like on Airbnb, you know, like you'll see, it'll be like a picture of the apartment and then the next picture will be like no parties. And it's just like kind of like a PowerPoint slide. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. So I've tested that before. And I think that kind of, if I'm someone who wants to go to Airbnb and throw a party and I see something that says no parties, blank right in my face, I'm probably not going to risk it. And I'm going to go to someone else who doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. So I think just doing little things like that. Also, pricing, I think, is huge. If you're cheaper, then you're going to get like, you know, that quality of people. If you're charging more, you know, people care more, they're spending more, they're probably going to be less likely to throw parties. And yeah, so I just think, you know, all that plays a part into it. I've done everything right, you know, in senses, and I've still had some crazy experiences. I feel like there's always going to be a couple bad apples, but it's part of the business and you just kind of, you figure it out. It happens, you fix it, and you move on. But yeah, for the most part, it's been pretty good. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I know there's always challenges and you'll figure it out. Have you ever used those noise meters? Like they look like old smoke detectors and they're noise meters.
Yeah, the little minutes.
Yep.
I have those in all of my properties. So they send, it's like decibels. It measures like the volume inside. And yeah, so I have it set to a certain level. And then if it goes over, I get an automatic message from that. And then it's also synced to Airbnb to automatically message the guest being like, hey, quiet hours, you know, it's a little loud in there. Keep it down. Or we're going to have to, you know, cancel the reservation. So that's another tool we use. Yeah.
So you've automated it all that way. So if it gets loud, it kicks them a message out. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think that's honestly like, because I was really worried with like going remote, because number one, it's a business I have no prior like experience in. And then just the fact, I feel like it's just comforting knowing that like if I needed to, I could drive there, but I couldn't. So before I left, I really like, I was focusing 100% on like systems, like making sure I have a good cleaning team, making sure my cameras are good, making sure, you know, the noise monitors are on. That way, like when I left, I felt secure and like, you know, my properties and everything. So I'm super thankful for like my cleaning team too, because without them, like I would not be able to do it.
Yeah. There's just some really good cleaners out there now. Like we have at one of ours, we have a Ring doorbell charging station that has the two batteries and they can just pop one out and put it back in and they keep the Ring going. Cause I think that's so important. Like you mentioned, to have that camera up front, not only to see who's coming in and out, but so they know that, hey, we're watching.
Yeah.
Not in a creepy way, but we are paying attention.
Yeah. That's another thing too. People are like, oh, like, why do you have a Ring camera? I'm just like, if you were running a business, a property, it's just like, it's a safety measure. When you go out to eat, there's cameras, like, you know what I mean? Like, but when you think about it, when people see it in an Airbnb, they automatically think, what? Like, that's weird, but it's not weird. It's just a safety precaution. So, yeah, but it's part of it.
Yeah, I've never had anybody complain, but yeah, I've definitely had people kind of look at it weird when they walk up, like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Or they're like, oh, not camera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they know. No, that's cool. So if you were going to start over completely, I know you've only been doing it for 9 months, but you've made amazing progress. But if you were going to start over completely differently, let's say a year ago, is there anything different you'd do?
Jordan Moorhead here. Really quickly, wanted to tell you a couple other ways you can keep track of us. If you want to listen to all these podcasts and ask questions, the Moorhead team on YouTube is the best place to be. And then Austin Real Estate Investors on Meetup is a great place to keep track of all of our meetups we have going on.
Yeah, I would do homes first instead of apartments. Reason being, there's a lot more money to be made with homes. You can scale quicker with apartments. Like I was able to get like 8 apartments in a very short amount of time, now 12. But with homes, I can have one home that equals 4 apartments. So it's a lot less to manage. You're managing less guests. I probably would do homes before I did apartments if I went back and could put them over
again. The revenue rates are higher.
Yeah, you can charge more per night and you make way more money doing a house. Like I would say one house is equal to probably like 3 or 4 apartments, depending on like the size and location. So I definitely, and it's a lot easier too to get approved for homes instead of going through a property manager, regional, all these different people to get approved. You just have to convince one landlord who probably just doesn't want to take care of it anymore, just wants their rent paid. Doesn't really care what you do with it. So it's a lot easier to convince one person than it is to convince a whole team of people who probably the apartments are going to get rented out anyways. So I feel like that's a good starting point too for people who maybe are interested in getting started. Definitely reach out to homes like on Zillow. That's the way to do it for sure.
Yeah. And I think something else there just occurred to me because we make cold calls trying to find properties to sell. You know, I run a real estate sales team here in Austin. And a lot of times we'll call for rent signs or for rents on Zillow. But what you'll find is a lot that they want such a high rent. And maybe you could give them that high rent with an arbitrage. Like, hey, I see you want $2,200 and your property's been sitting for 2 months. Now I'll give you $2,150 or $2,200. And
let me do Airbnb arbitrage. Yeah.
They don't care. They just want their rent. Taxes have gone up. Expenses have gone up.
Yep.
They want their rent.
And that's another thing. That's another thing too. A lot of people are scared. They're like, oh, like, I don't know where the rental market is going or the recession, which I feel like are all valid, you know, points. And as a business owner, I'm thinking about them constantly. But you also, you got to hit people kind of like the pain points. Like, you know, these apartment complexes are struggling. They're low occupancy. So now you're coming in and taking 10 units, now they don't have to worry about their occupancy. So they're also going to be more willing to negotiate rates with you. Cheaper rent, first month free. So a lot of people see the negatives, but just flip it and see how you can come in and, you know, be beneficial to them. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's in it for me? What are you giving them? It's all about what are they going to get? So as long as you show up and say, hey, I got that rent for you, or I'm going to get rid of your occupancy problem. But I just need to do this.
They're sold.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, they're like, wait, let's sign the lease.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So, Haley, what's next for you? You've absolutely crushed it in such a short amount of time. I feel like you've got such a big future in front of you. Do you have like any goals for the near term, you know, 1 to 3 years maybe?
Within the next, like, I'd say like 3 years, I would love to have my first like owning property, like buy my first property. Mm-hmm. And then another like shorter term goal. In December, I spoke at like an entrepreneur conference and I really like speaking in front of people was like terrifying to me. Like that was my biggest fear. And I did it anyways. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like I really love this. So I would love to like speak at another conference. I think like, growing up, like my mom was like a single mom. So like money, financial stress was like a huge thing. And I know it's super big for a lot of people in the world. And I feel like I have all this knowledge. I'm so young, like now I just want to help people. Like, I feel bad not helping people. So I would love to speak at more conferences and just kind of spread awareness, like, about the business and how other people can do it too.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're getting on a lot of podcasts too, so you'll absolutely talk to a lot of people that way.
This is only my second one, so hopefully I did good.
Really? That's amazing. I had no idea. I would have assumed you've been on dozens. So you will be on dozens as you're going here. I know you're very proactive and reaching out. And I know if you just keep doing that, you'll be all over the place before you know it.
Thank you. And like I said, thank you again for like allowing me on. Like, I think it's super cool to share my story and then like you giving me the opportunity to do so as well to help as many people as possible.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And you do have an amazing story. So get out there, buy some properties. Do you have a goal for how many arbitrage units you want to have in the next, let's say, year?
This year with these 12, I'm estimated to make like about 500K. So if I could get to 24 and make a million by next year, my goal is a million. So whether it be 12 more apartments, 2 more homes, I want to generate at least $1 million in revenue next year. That's my goal.
That's a pretty dang good goal. I love that goal.
Yeah. I think I could do it. So that's the goal. That's what I'm working towards every day. I'm super excited to see if we can reach that.
That's a killer goal. I love it. I know you'll be there before you know it too. Do you have like a business or mindset book that you really like and like to recommend?
So the first ever business book I read was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I know that sounds very cliche and all that. I'm sure you've heard that before, but I swear by that book. Like, I still reference it today. I think it breaks down a lot of like big things that seem scary, easier to understand. And like, he talks about having like debt is not always a bad thing. I can use other people's money to make you money. So that's one of my favorites. And then I feel like a personal like self book would be The Four Agreements. I really love that book. It's a short read, but it's very interesting. And his ideology is very intriguing to me, the way he breaks things down. So those are like a business and like a personal one that I both really like.
Yeah. Both amazing books too. I think probably everybody. Everybody listening to this has probably read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you haven't, go out and read it. But The Four Agreements is a really awesome book too. And if you haven't read that, it's quick and easy too. It's such a good one to read.
I love that book.
Yeah. Haley, is there a best way for people to get a hold of you or to follow you?
I would say probably Instagram. I'm like really active on Instagram. And it's Haley Marie. So HailyMaarie. And then that same handle is my TikTok as well. I just started posting on YouTube, but yeah, I'd say Instagram.
Awesome. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody absolutely follow Haley on Instagram at Haley Marie, MaarieE. And make sure to follow me at Jordan Moorhead, Jordan_Moorhead. Haley, I'm just amazed on the progress you've made in 9 months. Once you start buying properties too, I think we'll see a whole nother side, which is going to be awesome.
We'll be back.
Yeah, you'll be back. No, absolutely. When you start buying properties and putting your STR business model to work there to build huge wealth with real estate, we'll definitely have another real estate episode coming up here.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on, and I'm sure we'll talk here soon.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much.